Okay, so we are in lesson 18 today. We're going to continue looking at the Holy Spirit, His nature, and His work. Last week when we were looking at this lesson, we were looking at the nature of the Holy Spirit as well as His relationship to the world. And with that, we saw that He was a very much a part of creation as well as its preservation. Then we also looked specifically at the relationship that the Holy Spirit has with the unsaved or unbelieving person in our world. And then we finished up last week with the issue of the Holy Spirit and the Scripture and the fact that He is the one who moved the human authors to write it. So He is the author of Scripture, but He is also the one who helps us to understand. He is the interpreter. He is the one who teaches us. Now today, we're going to continue looking at His nature and His work, and we're going to focus in on His relationship, of course, with Jesus Christ, and we're going to be looking at His relationship with believers. And so that's what we're going to be focusing in on as far as who and what the Holy Spirit is and what He does in our world and in our lives. So let's get right to the first part that we're going to look at today in today's lesson, and that is the issue of His relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, we should already realize and know that He does have a relationship with Jesus Christ because He is one of the three that is the part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. And so therefore, what I want you to see is, because of that intimate relationship between the three persons of the Trinity, we're going to notice several things here. So first of all, the Holy Spirit was active in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I would immediately recognize that because when we look at the Gospels, we see various portions of Scripture that mention about Jesus being filled with the Spirit or guided by the Spirit, and we see that the Spirit was very much a part of His life. Now, let's take a look at several scriptures and kind of acknowledge several areas in which the Holy Spirit was a part of His life. So, for instance, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about when the conception happened with Jesus Christ as He was carried by Mary, we're going to see that His conception was a result of the Holy Spirit. Now, where do we get that? Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So the first thing we want to see about that relationship that the Holy Spirit has with Jesus in His human form, not in the reality of who He is as the second person of the Trinity, in His human form, because He's fully God and fully human, was the result of the Spirit coming upon Mary. The other thing I want you to see now as we move along in the life of Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at His baptism. So at the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. So here we see the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus at His baptism. Another aspect in which we need to realize when we talk about the relationship between the Holy Spirit and Jesus is this: God the Father gave the Holy Spirit without measure to equip Jesus. So God the Father gave the Holy Spirit without any constraints, without any measure, without any hindrances to equip Jesus Christ. Now, how do we see this? John chapter 3, verse 34. For He whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So Jesus is uttering the words of God. Why? Because he was given the Holy Spirit by God the Father. Another aspect, we obviously know this from the Gospels, is the reality that Jesus did miracles. Well, it is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus performed his miracles. Listen to what Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 says. Now, this is in response to the Pharisees claiming that he was doing it in the power of Beelzebub. And what we see here is Jesus answering that he actually is doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the passage says. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he's denying that he's doing it in the power of Satan. He gives that explanation concerning that. But he says to them, look, if I'm doing this in the power of God, then the kingdom of God is among you, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that that was true because the kingdom was among them in the presence of Jesus. Here's another aspect, and this is very important for you and I to understand. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be his replacement after he ascended to God the Father. And we see this in what he teaches in the upper room in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So here we see Jesus didn't want us to be alone because he goes to the Father. He sent another comforter, which, by the way, is so much greater than just having the physical Jesus with us. So if you think about it, wherever you are right now listening to this lesson, you are there. The Spirit of God is with you. The Spirit of God is with me in my office or in the church as I'm communicating this lesson to you. He's everywhere with every believer throughout the world. How much better is that? Okay, so now we focused in on the relationship that the Holy Spirit has with Jesus Christ. Let's focus in now, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of this lesson, on the relationship that is the Holy Spirit and believers. And we're going to see that in two areas. So when we talk about the relationship that the Holy Spirit has with believers, we're going to see it in the area of what occurred at salvation, that is, when you and I became believers in Jesus Christ. And then we're also going to see the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. So those are the two areas we're going to focus in on. So let's look at the reality of what the Holy Spirit's relationship to us was during the whole issue of salvation. So as we focus in on this, I want you to notice is that he regenerates. That is, he changes us. Now, what do you mean? Well, it is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that a person is born again. Remember that whole issue of being born again that was raised in the conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that you and I must be born again in order to see heaven, to be a part of the reality of salvation. This is what I want you to see. It is the Spirit who changes us so that we are born again. Listen to what John chapter 6 says. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. It is the Spirit who gives us life. The reality that you are a new person in Christ is because the fact is that you were changed. You were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So that happens at salvation. You are changed. The second aspect of what I want you to see of what happens at salvation with relationship to the Spirit and its interaction with us, he indwells. That is, he lives within us. So here's what I want you to see. Closely related to the believer's regeneration is the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. So closely related to the reality that he changes us is now the reality that the Holy Spirit indwells us or lives within us. So let's reflect back on John chapter 14, verse 17. We've already mentioned this verse earlier in a prior section. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he's saying we understand the Spirit because the Spirit is within us. He lives within us. Now that is the amazing thing, isn't it? He, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, lives within each and every believer. He indwells us. Now, the next aspect of what happens at salvation, and sometimes there's confusion with regards to this, is that Christ baptizes believers with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, I need to kind of mention to you, a lot of times when we hear this, have you experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What they're focused on in our world today when they say that is, have we experienced some sort of ecstatic experience which, quote, could evidence that the Holy Spirit lives within us? But the reality is baptism has nothing to do with just having an experience. It is the reality that the Spirit of God baptizes us into the body of Jesus. Now, who is the body of Jesus? We are the body, the church. Now, listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, for all were made to drink of one Spirit. So every believer, no matter their background, was made to be a part of the church, that is the body of Christ, because we drink of the Spirit. We all have experienced the reality of the Spirit baptizing us or coming into our lives at salvation. Now, there's one other aspect that we need to see here that happens at salvation, and I think this is so important for you and I to understand. And that is, he seals. The Holy Spirit seals. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, God seals the believer with the Holy Spirit to ensure their salvation. So he seals the reality of our salvation by giving us the Holy Spirit. Now, where do we get that from? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Listen to what Paul writes. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, here's what I want you to see. So when we heard and responded to the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus Christ, when we came to him in faith, again, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That happens at the moment that we are baptized, where he indwells us. We were sealed, and the Holy Spirit then serves as the guarantee, according to verse 14, of the future inheritance of our salvation until we acquire it. That is, until we go to be with the Lord. So the Spirit is the one who ensures our salvation. Our salvation is not insured by us. There's nothing we could do for salvation. There is nothing you can do to maintain it. It is the Spirit of God who ensures our salvation. That doctrine, my friends, is called the doctrine of eternal security. Now, we see all of these things happening with the reality of the Holy Spirit being in our lives at salvation. What do you mean? Well, we're regenerated. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. He indwells us. He seals us. Those are all important things that happen when we came to Christ. Now, there's still one more component. There's still one more part that we need to look at with regards to the work of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that believers have with Him. And so what we're going to focus in on this last part of this section concerning the relationship between the Holy Spirit and believers is the continuing work of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to point out two things here. First of all, He fills. So during the life of a believer, he needs to be, that is, the believer needs to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. This comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, some folks like to kind of liken this when they read this passage of like a fluid filling a glass. Like you and I need to be filled kind of like that with a power or whatever. What I want you to understand, that is not what this passage is talking about. It's interesting. The passage kind of gives us a contrast. It contrasts the reality of someone who is a drunk versus somebody who is filled with the Spirit. Now let's think about a drunk for a moment. What motivates a drunk? The alcohol. What controls the drunk? Alcohol. What does the drunk strive for? Alcohol. What does he live for? Alcohol. This is the contrast that we see here. A drunk is motivated, activated, and compelled by alcohol. When it contrasts that with you and I as believers, we need to be filled with the Spirit, basically saying motivated, activated, and compelled by the Spirit in our daily lives. So this is what it's talking about, that you and I need to come to a place where we are filled by the Spirit. Now, let me just stop for a moment. The reality is that there are times when we don't allow that to happen. And so Paul refers to it in two different passages, the reality in which we may quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit. That's when we're living on our own and not being guided by Him, when we're off in sin. Now, the final thing I want you to see here as far as His continuing work is He guides. That is, He gives us guidance. So the believer is commanded to walk in the Spirit and to be guided by Him. This goes back to what Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So it's talking about being guided by the Spirit as we live by Him. That is, as we live guided by Him, let us keep in step with the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, just those two things about coming to the place where we are controlled by the Spirit and then guided by Him, those are two amazing things that take place in our life right now. You and I have a personal relationship with the living God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to move on in our study of these doctrines, and we're going to focus in on an area that there is a lot of confusion about, and we're going to try to answer those things as we look at the whole issue of angels and demons. And that's what we're going to be looking at next week.